Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and a very good morning to you on Thursday, February the 26th. Welcome to Africa Link. I'm Mark Caldwell in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, South Africa is hit by a massive leak of classified intelligence traffic between its National Security Service and other spying agencies.
Things that we didn't know before include an assassination plot that came as news to us. There's been a couple of interesting details.
And we look back 130 years to the conclusion of the Berlin Conference, at which Africa was divided up among European colonial powers.
For us in African studies, many of us believe that the present day crisis in Africa, the foundation was actually laid by the 1884-1885 Berlin Conference.
Those stories and more coming up on this edition of Africa Link. Stay tuned.
Top story.
South Africa has been hit by a massive leak of intelligence documents which have found their way to Britain's Guardian newspaper and the TV channel Al Jazeera. They include dossiers, files and cables sent to and from the South African Security Agency and other spying organisations. The leaks cast light on South Africa's relations with Israel and on its role in the West's dispute with Iran over nuclear enrichment. As Tuzo Kamalo reports, South Africans will have been disturbed to learn of a plot to kill one of their high-ranking officials, the chairwoman of the African Union Commission.
The leaked intelligence documents indicate that there was a plan to assassinate Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma in Addis Ababa soon after she took up her appointment as the chair of the African Union Commission in 2012. The intelligence service became aware of the threat by unnamed assassins, but it was not carried out. The documents also reveal that the United States Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, was so desperate to contact Palestinian organization Hamas in 2012 that it solicited help from South Africa. There is also information that Israelis then Secret Service Chief Mia Dagan sought South Africa's help to sabotage a probe led by South African Judge Richard Goldstone into alleged war crimes in Gaza. In another incident also revealed by the leaked documents, South African former Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan received a hand-delivered note from unknown sources threatening a cyber attack against the country's banking and financial services sector if the campaign to boycott Israel goods was not stopped. The campaign, supported by the government, was launched by a group of South Africans calling on Israel to end its occupation of Gaza. Murray Handa is the national coordinator for South Africa's Right to Know organization that advocates the free flow of information.
Here we see South Africa involved in some very, very dodgy backroom deals with other intelligence agencies who are themselves very, very dodgy. So I think it is very significant. It is really, finally, we're seeing the world through some clearer eyes.
Over 140 foreign spies have reportedly infiltrated government departments, ministries and the presidency. Yet another revelation is that South Korea asked the South African State Security Agency for an assessment of Greenpeace Executive Director Kumi Naidu, who is a South African citizen. Naidu says he is taking these allegations seriously.
Sadly, in the cables, I don't see a denial from the South African intelligence agency saying that they didn't. So two of the things that I'm going to be doing is seeking information from government and a dialogue with government for them to answer the question, how did they respond? And secondly, whatever legal action needs to be taken.
The government was initially reluctant to comment on the leaks, but on Wednesday, State Security Minister David Mahlobo said an investigation had been launched.
Tuzo Kamalo reporting. So with the South African government launching a damage containment exercise, how dramatic are these leaks? Assumpta Latas put that question to Philip Dewitt, associate editor with South Africa's Mail and Guardian.
So far, not vastly dramatic. We've learnt a couple of new things, but a lot of the information contained in the cables just reinforces what we have always believed. A good example of the things that we've always believed is the fraught nature of the relationship between South African spies and Israeli spies, and how difficult South Africa is finding it balancing between these two forces in the Middle East, trying to keep the USA sweet in multilateral forums while still having a preference for Palestinian statehood on a government level. Things that we didn't know before include an assassination plot that came as news to us. There have been a couple of interesting details in some of the documents, but nothing that's really made our eyebrows hit the ceiling just quite yet.
Let's talk about the State Security Agency of South Africa. Well, so far it hasn't commented. Has it ever been involved in leaks before?
Not at this level. The State Security Agency has been increasingly politicized domestically since 2008. And we and many other papers have done work around the use of domestic security apparatus in factional fighting, especially within the ruling African National Party. So we know there have been instances of one set of political actors using state apparatus to spy on another set of political actors. And over time, some of that information has emerged. Little of it via direct leaks from the State Security Agency, more on a political level. So users and recipients of information have from time to time leaked information which was enormously in the public interest and got a great deal of play within South Africa. But we've never seen anything of this quantity and anything of this level of detail come out of the State Security Agency, neither before nor since apartheid.
And how well organized is the agency?
The agency, from what we can tell, is in something of a state of chaos. We've had a succession of spy masters at various intelligence agencies, including the domestic police intelligence agency. But regardless of what lies behind it, there's been not a great deal of stability in terms of leadership. And from everything we can tell, that has impacted the effectiveness of these agencies.
Philip Dewitt from South Africa's Mail and Guardian.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
130 years ago, on February the 26th, 1885, the Berlin Conference came to an end. This meeting, at which the colonial powers carved up Africa, was to have huge consequences for the continent, lasting to this day. DW's Hilke Fischer has been talking to two historians, one German, one Nigerian. Her report is presented now by Isaac Mugabe.
Representatives of 13 European states, the United States of America and the Ottoman Empire converged on Berlin in late 1884 at the invitation of German Chancellor Otto von Bismarck to divide up Africa among themselves in accordance with their perception of international law. Africans were not invited to the meeting. The Berlin Conference led to a period of heightened colonial activity by the European powers. With the exception of Ethiopia and Liberia, all the states that now make up present-day Africa were parceled out among the colonial powers. Lines of longitude and latitude, rivers and mountain ranges were pressed into service as borders separating the colonies. Or one simply placed a ruler on the map and drew a straight line. Many historians, such as Oyawemi Akinwumu from Nasarawa State University in Nigeria, therefore sees the Congo Conference as the crucible for future inner African conflicts.
For us in African studies, many of us believe that the present-day crisis in Africa, the foundation was actually laid by the 1884-1885 Berlin Conference. The partition was done without any consideration for the history of the society.
New borders were drawn through the territories of every 10th ethnic group. Studies have shown that societies through which new frontiers were driven would later be far more likely to suffer from civil war or poverty. In many countries such as Cameroon, the Europeans rode roughshod over local communities and their needs, said Michael Pesek, researcher in African colonial history at the University of Erfurt in Germany. But historians, he explained, were now less inclined to regard the arbitrary drawing of Africa's borders as the root cause of conflicts in post-colonial Africa.
People had learned to live with borders that often only existed on paper. Borders are important when interpreting Africa's geopolitical landscape, but for people on the ground, they have little meaning.
In the 1960s, as African countries gained their independence, African politicians could have changed the colonial borders. But they desisted from doing so. Pesek explains why.
A large majority of politicians said around 1960, if we do that, we will open up Pandora's box. They were probably right. Looking at all the problems Africa has had over the last 80 years, there have been numerous conflicts within states, but hardly any between states over borders.
In 2010, on the 125th anniversary of the Berlin Conference, representatives from many African states in Berlin called for reparations for the colonial era. The arbitrary division of the continent among European powers, which ignored African laws, culture, sovereignty, and institutions, was a crime against humanity, they said in a statement.
That report was written by Hilke Fischer. Next, we take a trip to Kenya along the country's longest river, the Tana. Running for 1,000 kilometres, it is the lifeblood of those who live nearby, villagers, livestock and wildlife. But some stretches of the Tana have dried up. The operator of a hydroelectric power plant has diverted the waters to a dam through an underground tunnel. With such conflicting interests, there is tension in the air. This report by Ruth Krauser is presented by Eunice Wanjuru.
Mariana Pius walks 2 hours every day to fetch drinking water for herself and her family of 10. She is outraged by what has been done to the Tana River.
Water used to flow along here, but then the first dam was built and it was reduced to a trickle. And after the second dam was built, it disappeared altogether.
Where Mariana gets her water, it's 33 degrees Celsius in the shade. The locals cool off, wash, and get their drinking water here. The water is almost lukewarm, providing perfect conditions for waterborne pathogens to thrive. Mariana and the others often have stomach problems, but she says there's no alternative. Lydia Olaka is a scientist who works for the University of Nairobi's Wise Up project. The goal of the project is to diffuse the conflict between the different groups who use the water and find efficient ways of using the little water available.
Water is life. There are two issues of just the quantity of water, so either a lot or too little, and then the other thing is the quality issues that we have, either water that is of very poor quality and water that is of good quality. So these are the two extremes within Kenya. Just depends on where you are.
Where there's no water, conflicts are escalating. In recent years, fights over grazing land and water have even resulted in death. Some residents believe climate change is the main culprit. Others blame the dams. Over the last few years, they've been planting trees along the river. It's a long-term project supported by the government. Shade from the trees should help prevent evaporation of the river water. Daniel Gishuki is one of the local residents.
This is one of the best. It gives a shade, a big shade, to cover the river. It also gives no soil erosion because of the roots.
The locals are happy to talk about the project with the scientists because the forestation benefits everyone along the river.
This is the dream. To have it clean, clear, like what we have seen here. And if you compare this to what we are seeing downstream, you actually see that it collects a ton of things as it goes down. So we hope that all the stakeholders who are involved in this process can really see the benefits of reclaiming a river, and this will produce clean water.
And that report was written by Ruth Krauser. And now, for the next 10 minutes, we find out how life has been treating the Crossroads generation.
Deutsche Welle, learning by ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the next episode of Crossroads Generation.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for our way. Crossroads Generation, our future starts today.
Last time, we followed 19-year-old Dan as he helped out an old lady in the slum where he lives. To thank him, she invited him into her house where Dan saw she had some beautiful decorations.
Could you teach me how to make those ornaments?
You want to learn knitting?
Yes, please.
Trudy is studying journalism and she has an idea for a new story.
Tina, you know the club you like to go to?
Yes.
Would you be able to put me in touch with some of your friends there?
Sure. Why?
I'm thinking of doing a story on prostitution.
Trudy, I think you should look for another topic. It's too dangerous.
Meanwhile, Tina's and Trudy's friend Mercy has other things on her mind. Her family is involved in a court case about illegal adoption because Mercy's father Msoto sold his newborn baby to the politician Mukaraba 4 years ago. Now Mukaraba is doing everything he can to hide the truth and save his reputation. This is episode 19 and it's called Good and Bad Surprises. We start with Mercy, who's home from university to visit her mother and her 3-year-old daughter, Linda.
50, 60, 80. Damn, too many coins. Why isn't anyone paying in bills today?
Hi, Mom.
Mercy, what are you doing here?
I don't have any classes today or tomorrow, so I thought I'd come home to help you with Linda. Is she here with you?
She's playing with the neighbor's kids.
And how are my little brothers?
They are fine. I just hope Banda hasn't sneaked out to see his dad again. That crazy man.
Is that where Banda's been getting all the King Karubu talk?
Of course. But enough of that. How are you, Mercy?
Yeah, fine, I guess.
What do you mean? Are you in trouble again?
No, don't worry, Mom.
Then what is it? I always know when you're hiding things from me.
Nikki asked me to marry him.
Handkerchiefs!
I haven't sold anything since this morning.
Me neither. But we are lucky today. The local police haven't been round.
Hi, my name is Dan. Do you mind if I take this empty spot here next to you?
If you think you'll be lucky enough to sell something today.
Ladies bags! Beautifulest lady bags! Oh, hi there, lady. How do you like these bags?
I like the mix of colors and the texture. In fact, I've never seen one of these before. What are they made of?
A good salesman never reveals his secrets.
Okay, how much?
50 each.
Well, okay, I'll take the pink one. Here's your money.
Oh, thanks.
Bye.
Bye. New ladies' handbags. Everyone unique.
New boy, you seem to have some pretty good stuff. Where do you get those bags from?
Hey! Quick!
Local police!
What? Where?
Come here. You're under arrest for hawking on the streets without a license.
Oh, but, officer, I'm just trying to make a living.
Are you arguing with me?
Please, let me go, officer. I am not a thief.
Listen, if you want to go, you'll have to pay for our fuel.
But I don't have any money.
Stop wasting my time. Hey! Come back here! Stop running! Come back!
Silence in court. Silence. This is my verdict in the case of the people versus Mukaraba. In accordance with the law and the evidence presented in this court, Mr. Mukaraba, being a person of sound mind and a leader of society, is found to have bought a baby from Mr. Msoto. There are laws in this country governing the adoption of children, and Mr. Mukaraba, being an aspiring lawmaker, should have known better. This court finds Mr. Mukaraba guilty.
Yes.
And I...
Yes.
Silence.
Yeah.
and I therefore order him to pay the plaintiff in this case a total of 100,000.
You can't do this to me! No!
Silence! Silence in court!
Oh, thank God!
President Karubu!
Silence! Father, I order that the child in question be handed over to Mrs. Lulum Soto.
Yes! Thank God!
Since the child is now with social services, they will help her to reintegrate into her natural family.
Oh, my baby.
We had a deal. You can't do this.
What?
A deal.
Silence. Mr. Soto was part of the conspiracy to sell his own child. But he has testified in this case, even though this meant implicating himself. Considering his contribution, I have decided that Mr. Soto will not be given a prison sentence. Nonetheless, I am issuing a restraining order against Mr. Soto. Yes. He may not come within 300 meters of the child in question. Any direct contact is strictly forbidden. Additionally, I order that the prosecution in this case open a corruption investigation into Mr. Mukaraba.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
As he tried to bribe none other than the judge in this case. The money.
You took my money.
Silence.
You took my money.
Silence. The money will be used to cover the costs of this trial and to support social services who have been taking care of the child.
You don't know who you're messing with.
All arise. Court is adjourned.
Home at last. Oh, this is really not an easy subject to work on. Once you look more closely, more and more stuff starts coming to the surface. But I think it's worth it. Trudy, you're doing a good job. Who's this? Oh, Tina. Hi, Tina.
Hey, Trudy. Are you home?
Yes, I just got back. I'm exhausted.
Of course. You've been working really hard, but you've almost finished now, haven't you?
Right, I... Oh, damn it.
What was that?
Just another power cut. It's all dark in here. I'll have to go and find some candles.
Okay, take care, won't you?
Of course. See you tomorrow. Hello? Who's there? Marcy? Is that you? Hello? This isn't funny. I'll scream. Whoever you are, I'll...
Shut your mouth, you stupid slut. That cold thing that you can feel against your neck? That's a gun. One false move and I'll pull the trigger. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Now, I'm going to let go of your mouth. But you have to do exactly what I tell you. If you scream, I will shoot you. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There.
Who are you? What do you want?
I will only ask you this once. Where is the material? You know what I'm talking about. Don't move. Just tell me.
What? What are you talking about?
Don't pretend you don't know.
I swear. I don't. I...
Hey. I said don't move. I said don't... Ah! Oh, God. What have I done? What have I done?
What just happened? Just when you thought everything would turn out well? You really mustn't miss the next episode of Crossroads Generation if you want to find out. Until next time, bye!
And there'll be another episode in the lives of the Crossroads Generation on Monday. Our main stories before we leave you. South Africa is hit by a massive leak of classified intelligence traffic between its security service and other spying organizations. And we've been looking back 130 years to the conclusion of the Berlin Conference, at which Africa was divided up among European colonial powers. This program, Africa Link, returns at the same time tomorrow. Remember, you can contact us by sending an SMS to country code 49 160 957 59510, an email to feedback.africa@dw.de, or a letter to Africa Link, DW 53110, Bonn, Germany. As always, thank you for listening. This is Mark Caldwell in Bonn.